Okay, make sure your fellowship as we hear or set forth to review the doctrine of pastor teacher. Resuming here, Roman numeral 2, synonyms. Here, this describes some synonyms that define specific principles that accompany the gift. A, angelos, which means messenger. This indicates that he is a spokesman for God to the local church, and also emphasizes one pastor teacher per local assembly. This term angelos is used with respect to the seven churches to whom Paul wrote his revelation. Each church is addressed to each particular part of the address to the churches is addressed to the messenger himself, translated angel in the New American Standard, but the primary meaning of that term is messenger. Revelation 2:1, verses 8 and 12, and 18, chapter 3, verses 1, 7, 14, and to the messenger, singular. An example, 7:14 of the church in Laodicea, right? So the principle is one pastor per long congregation at any given point in time. B, another synonym that helps understand the gift is diakonos, which means minister or servant. This indicates that the pastor teacher is a servant to positive volition. Obviously, we will proclaim the truth to any who give it a hearing, but we're designed with respect to our spiritual gifts to take those who are positive to maturity in edification. Mark 10:43 and 44 is used in this vein. In regards to disciples, with respect to their oncoming roles as communicators, Mark 10:43 and 44, but it is not so among you in regards to how they are to exercise authority and not in abuse as Gentile rulers, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. 1 Corinthians 3:5. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed. An application to be a faithful presentation of the gospel to those who are otherwise positive, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Who also made us, Paul and company, adequate as servants of the new covenant. Not a letter, but of the Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. 6:4. In everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, the sacrifice necessary to ensure the integrity of the ministry. Ephesians 3:7. Of which I was made a minister in regards to the gospel presentation according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. Minister, servant. 6:21, Ephesians. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing. Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. Colossians 1. Seven. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. representation of the communication. It's not possible for them to be here. Verse 23 is a particular location. Indeed, you continue the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made minister, a servant. Verse 25, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I might fully carry out the proclaiming of the word of God. And 4:7, as to all my affairs, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful servant, fellow bond servant in the Lord, will bring you information. See, didaskalos, which means teacher, obviously emphasizes the pastor-teacher's responsibility to communicate the contents of Scripture, teach Bible doctrine. 2:7. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now to exercise what's necessary to exercise polyvolition in the truth of doctrine, 2 Timothy 1:11. And for which I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. Apostle is essentially a super gift. Obviously, function in all aspects of spiritual gifts. D, doulos, which means bond slave, generally translated bond slave, or slave. This emphasizes the pastor teacher's responsibility to obey God under his authority and trust him to provide in all aspects of the ministry. Luke 12:43. Notice the difference of terms here in our notes. Verse 43 compared to verse 42, where oikonomos, which is translated steward, is used of the slave that is in charge. There you have the contrast of pastors who do the job right, in contrast to the extreme of unbelievers who assume the position of authority otherwise. The Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward, communicator put in charge, who his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time, the one responsible to provide spiritual nourishment through the teaching of Bible doctrine. Blessed is that slave, there's our term, whom his master finds in so doing when he comes, doing his job. Romans 1:1. So our term slave used there. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wrong. In Titus 1:1, Paul, a bondservant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ for the faith of those chosen of God, beginning with saving faith and the knowledge of the truth, Bible doctrine, which is according to God in this phase 2. E, our term episkopos, which means overseer. It indicates the pastor-teacher's responsibility to watch over the general and spiritual welfare of the local church. Acts 20:28, God the Holy Spirit appoints shepherds with their right congregations to oversee their spiritual needs. 1 Timothy 3:2. Where the pastor is referred to as an overseer. and also Titus 1:7, which would be parallel. This passage referred to an overseer being above reproach as God's steward. F, our term karutz, New American Standard translates it preacher. It literally means a herald. A herald is one who would come and give an announcement in regards to the approach of the king or something the king had to say. It emphasizes the fact that the pastor teacher is to clearly and emphatically declare God's word to whoever will give it a hearing regardless of response. The term is used 1 Timothy 2:7. As Paul states, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. 2 Timothy 1:11. For which I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. 2 Peter 2:5. Regards to Noah, a proclaimer or herald of righteousness with seven others. Compare Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall stand up with this generation at the white throne judgment and shall condemn it because they repented at the heralding of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message proclaimed or heralded to those who believe. And 2:4. And my message and my proclaiming or heralding were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. The verb here, I note the difference. While the verb didasko, which means to teach, emphasizes the explanation in discourse, keruso, to herald, emphasizes simple declaration. That's the difference between the two terms. G, you have the noun poimen, shepherd. Poimen. This noun conjures up all this pastoral metaphor suggests, includes one pastor teacher per congregation in a personal face-to-face setting. That principle is brought out again in the analogy of the shepherd and the sheepfold in John 10, 1 through 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, and he who does not enter by the door, you've got to be a believer to be a bona fide pastor. And to the fold of the sheep, obviously assuming the role as a pastor, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. Doesn't go in through the gate up front. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper, they're analogous to the Holy Spirit. Opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Looks to the physical participation of the shepherd with the sheep to take him out to pasture. That's analogous to the pastor being face to face with the sheep to give them their spiritual nourishment. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. they recognize and become familiar in regards to the voice that proclaims to them and feeds them the truth of Bible doctrine. And that's what they adhere to, that's what they become accustomed to, and that's who they will obviously listen to for their own spiritual guidance and nourishment in life. And a stranger, they simply will not follow. A stranger there can include not only those who are false teachers, but also even any bona fide teacher, as we know in regards to the isagogics of shepherding and sheep, that the shepherds knew their sheep by name, and sheep would only respond to their shepherd's voice, even in the midst of being in the middle of hundreds of other sheep, because they do not know the voice of strangers. So that obviously teaches one pastor per congregation. It teaches the importance of face-to-face teaching, which is the preferred method. And then also Ephesians 4:11 that lists the use of the offices, communicated God offices, compares use to Christ in contrast to PTs in John 10:11, 14, and 16, where John is the good, Christ is the good shepherd. People want to take issue with this. The shepherd in verses 1 through 5 is Christ. I don't know what theological school they went to. They sure got cheated in regards to understanding languages and the primary standards of exegesis. Now, John identifies for us Jesus Christ. He is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep in the analogy. He's also the door in the analogy. So he serves two parts. Then Hebrews 13:10 and 1 Peter 2:25, with respect to Christ being set apart as the chief shepherd, the shepherd, if you will, beyond the under shepherd. The verb paimeno is used in John 21:16, Acts 20:28 in regards to shepherding. 1 Corinthians 9:7, 1 Peter 5:2. The noun can also refer to believers as a quote flock, as in John 10:16 and 1 Corinthians 9:7. Alright, H, our final term here, presbyteros, translated elder, as we just dealt with it. A word of Jewish origin indicating the spiritual level of the pastor and the respect believers are to show them. Obviously, you need a pastor that is advanced enough spiritually to lead people spiritually. You don't want the newbie, the green individual that just got on the battlefield to take recon out on their first patrol or on their next patrol. You want somebody with expertise. And the newbie that goes, yeah, that's what I want too. Put me in that situation. Put me in somewhere in the middle. You all spread out. 1 Peter 5:1-5, the terms used. 2 John 1, in regards to John, apostle being an elder. 3 John 1. 3, now there are certain steps to the pastorate. To be a pastor under the permanent gift, obviously today, demands instruction and teaching over and beyond as time went on, obviously, to learn the languages of which the original autographs were written in Scripture, Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, so that you can have a proper translation, as well as what it means to be an exegete, the hermeneutics, the science and art of interpretation, etc. And there are certain steps to the pastorate as it's used for the office. Compare 1 Timothy 3:1, certain training they should undergo. Any man aspires to the office of overseer, the fine work he desires to do. So an aspiration implies that there's some formality that he must go through in order to attain to his office. So A, God the Holy Spirit, and how this works, sovereignly bestows the spiritual gift of salvation under the doctrine of spiritual gifts. J, just a communicator like any other believer, not really have a choice in regards to what their gift was. It's just through spiritual advancement, recognizing the gift. B, it's though by the principle of grace, Ephesians 3:7, and not necessarily by IQ. Obviously, they got to have enough education and ability to teach. You don't have to be a genius. Academic trends or bents, etc. Note the diversity of backgrounds. Men were called from in the Bible. We had people that were fishermen, worked on the water, etc. Different backgrounds, different levels of education, etc. See, only males have biblical authority to hold this office. Women teachers are an abomination in representation and witness of the church, the pastor teachers. 1 Timothy 2:12. I just made a lot of friends out there in the world that are making that statement. You can either follow the Bible or go off and use your own standards. Your choice. Paul proclaims, and I do not permit a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. And I've heard it, you know, from women. Well, that's just Paul. He looked down his condescending regards to females. What an idiot. It's in the Bible. So let's clip out the verse and throw it out. You know, if God the Holy Spirit permits it to be in there and insists that it is in there, then it becomes Scripture. God ordained his thoughts. He says, yes, this is right. And that is the way the normal church functions. Men are the authority. Even if they don't act like it, they are to be the authority. So only males have biblical authority to hold this office. 1 Timothy 2:12. I know I'm pretty archaic. I'm from the dinosaur generation in regards to my thoughts. If it's right, it's always right. Didn't make any difference whether it's proclaimed a millennial ago or whether it's proclaimed a millennium from now. Right will always be right. Truth will always be truth. And it's not defined by what time in history those things are defined. The recognition that you have the spiritual gift comes with normal spiritual growth. E, an aspiration to office accompanies the recognition of your spiritual gift. 1 Timothy 3:1 again. The fine thing for an overseer, one who aspires to the office of overseer. So there is a drive, if you will, that attaches itself to this particular spiritual gift. F, preparation under the Timothy principle. 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these deposit to faithful men. That means 1 Timothy must teach those who aspire to be a pastor, teacher, then and of themselves, who will be competent, literally, to teach others also. So, whatever point in time in history, somebody already knows the languages in and of themselves because they come from that background. Well, obviously, you don't have to sit there and hammer home, except for maybe the grammar in regards to it in certain areas. But obviously, the doctrine must be taught, frame of reference, the right doctrines, how to properly interpret things of this nature. And the deposit involves, obviously, everything that is necessary for them to do a job adequate before God. I've had people call them, and, you know, I hear that you should be taught in regards to, you know, go to seminary, you know, but what verse do you have to show that? And you bring this out, and they disregard it. Oh, well, that's no big deal. Well, obviously, you never sat under sound face-to-face teaching before, probably. So that's what we refer to as the Timothy principle. Make the good deposit. And that demands time and grade, their own spiritual growth, as well as proving and giving evidence that they are competent to teach Bible doctrine. G, that's followed by ordination by a local church upon having met the qualifications necessary to ascend to office. 1 Timothy 5:22. Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily in regard to those who are to be shepherds and thus share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin. Don't send out someone that is immature, has not given good evidence of positive volition otherwise in their own lives, or as a church, the discipline that they will receive will come back to you as a church. And as most of you know, local church I came out of had a policy that they didn't ordain you until a church actually called you and accepted you as a pastor. And then they go, bam, get him out of here quick. Here, well, you're out. You're not under us anymore, man. Go be an idiot if you want now. We don't care. Compare 3, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy. In regards to the godliness code, part of the standard that is maintained and evaluated. All pastors should be evaluated in this regard. It just says we have an evaluation code for deacons. For those who are aspire to be overseers, it must be above reproach. Verse 2, the husband of one wife, that means at a time. And you've got the legalists out there who say, well, if you're ever divorced, you can't be a pastor. You're an idiot. Didn't disqualify Moses from his niche ministry as a communicator. He was married twice. He divorced his first wife because she was an idiot. Turned out to be one. Put it that way. Temperate, spiritually speaking. Self-control, organized, literally, translated respectable. Hospitable, able to teach. Not addicted to wine. Can't be an alcoholic. Can't have a couple shots before I go in and teach Bible class. You wouldn't want to be there if I did. Or brawler. Can't be a striker of persons. Try to use physical capabilities to ramrod or force people or punch people out because they piss you off or whatever. You can't do that. Take it as it comes. You can defend yourself, but that's the extent of it. But gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. Money's not what motivates you in life. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. Doesn't mean that children have to necessarily be positive, but he better manage his house right otherwise. They can be, you know, whatever they're going to be under SCA, but as long as they're living under their roof, the hammer will come down when necessary. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the Church of God? Church of God, obviously, you have rules and guidelines which to oversee the church by. Those who are out of line, you have certain disciplinary actions you take in regards to dealing with it. And so it is in the household. And that denotes whether one's life is more or less spiritually in order otherwise. You see it evidence in regards to their own home and not a new convert. The admonition's already been stated. Unless he become conceited, he gets filled up with pride, the power, authority that's fallen into his hands and fall into the condemnation incurred by the slanderer, the judgment of the world that's supported by negative volition. He must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so they may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then verse 10, let these also first be tested. The verb also, now that verse 8 goes into deacons, but the term also says, along with the pastors, be tested. So there's that period of testing. See, that's what it means to pay attention to every word. Or else you miss that. Let these also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they're beyond reproach. And so it is with pastors. So a period of testing, 3 years of beast barracks, of seminary, and all the written tests and verbal tests that go along with that, as well as your spiritual life being consistently scrutinized and analyzed for however long you're there. So, God the Holy Spirit then brings the pastor teacher together with the local church, Acts 20:28, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It's His true power and force. Until such time, God will put you on hold to test you. To test you, to continue to prepare you with respect to your right congregation, or maybe new right congregation, or whatever. Alright, Roman numeral 4. Now, the principle of right pastor and right congregation explained. Now, here's a principle that's constantly abused and dismissed in regards to even believers within the high circles, even within our own circle of the like-minded local churches. Right pastor, right congregation. Believers get fed up in regards to their niche, and they bolt and run to another pastor that, you know, is otherwise teaching sound doctrine, and that they had this open right to do this. Well, there are certain areas, obviously, if a female is going to marry her right man in another just local church, it's that woman's obligation, if he wants to stay there, to submit herself to his authority in that local church. Now, that's legitimate. But otherwise, most of the cases that you see in that regards are just people that are maladjusted, misacclimated to their niche. And they think by running away and stabbing themselves somewhere else that things will be better and things will be easier. And they get there, and that pastor has the same complaints as their previous pastor did in regards to them. Not that they would complain to me, but how did I know that? So right pastor, right congregation. We really are meant to be together. Sorry about that. My apologies. The Holy Spirit, again, places the individual with a particular group of believers geographically, as we saw in John 10, 2 and 3, where the Holy Spirit is the doorkeeper, Acts 20:28, and 1 Peter, as we saw, 5:3. Each one allotted to their charge. The believers, each groups of believers, log to each individual pastor's charge. The Holy Spirit establishes the pastor with right congregation over the years, maintains the lampstand. We are, as a local church, a lampstand. The message of truth of Bible doctrine, 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now, he who establishes us with you keeps on establishing. In Christ, anointing us is God. Maintains the integrity and the unity together. Who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. The Holy Spirit is one that, if you will, actively pursues this. So see, the Holy Spirit has one pastor teacher, again, per congregation. Teaching of John 10:3-6, the notation of Revelation 2 and the message of 7 churches. One messenger, singular, per local church. We're not designed, sheep are not designed to follow plurality of drummers. One drummer, one beat at a time. Christ himself taught that you'd be partial otherwise. You would be partial. You may think that you can be above that, but you won't. Ultimately, partiality will come out. Hate one, love the other, or whatever. Disregard one and adhere to the other. Just additional excuse for believers that are maladjusted more or less anyway to find their reasons for dissension and taking issue in regards to the teaching, etc. Imagine as it being two individuals or more plurality of elders adhere to one. I went and visited this pastor, and he said, do this, and this other one said not to do that. I'm going with the one that said to do it because it's more fun, or whatever. D, and the pastor teacher is then restricted geographically to the right congregation. The sheep are expected to obviously maintain their adherence to the right pastor, and so it is with the right pastor. It's a hireling that jumps up and runs when times get tough, etc. 2 Corinthians 10:13 through 16. There that deals with the communicator's sphere, which is canon or canon in the Greek, of jurisdiction. Again, this addresses all the loose ends in regards to the church today, that the pastors can go in and anywhere they choose and do their thing. Even Paul, who is in charge over more than one local church, did not interfere in the geographical canon of another apostle. 2 Corinthians 10, let's get there, 13 through 16. But we, Paul and company, will not boast beyond our measure, upon sphere, jurisdiction, upon the sphere, but within the measure of the sphere, which God divided to us, literally, a portion allotted to us, a measure to reach even as far as you. Even Paul had his geographical confines, which God the Holy Spirit kept him within. Even Jesus Christ did not leave the land in the first advent. He came to the Jews. So, you got the people with their arrogance. For we are not overextending ourselves if we did not reach to you, for we were the first to come even as far as you in the gospel of Christ. Not boasting beyond our measure, that is in other men's labors. But with the hope that as our faith grows, we shall be within our sphere enlarged even more by you. So I have no obligation, number one, as well as no right to try to interfere in another pastor's canon, try to teach his sheep, to lead or guide them spiritually. And most of my peers recognize that principle. EPTs that are in line with this principle do not exchange pulpits, and sheep that are adjusted do not follow strangers. And it doesn't mean that we may not have another pastor speak if he visits, whatever, keep everybody updated in regards to what's going on in his church or whatever. But otherwise, when it comes to the pulpit, when it comes to teaching, this pulpit belongs to me, and I'm pretty stingy with it. You got to recognize that anytime you're behind this pulpit, I don't care whether you're a deacon or another believer, you're representing what is my responsibility in speaking to the church. So that's something you should always keep in mind. And I assume that responsibility very serious. John 10:5, sheep do not follow the voice of strangers. Compare 2 Timothy 4:3. For an example of maximum violation on the other end of the coin, 2 Timothy 4:3, in regards to the last days, you're going to see this principle skewered totally and disregarded and rejected. For a time will come when they, believers, will not endure the sound doctrine, but will amass for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lusts. F, right pastor teacher has sanctified jealousy for right congregation. 2 Corinthians 11:1-4. Paul had to battle false teachers seeking to infiltrate his churches. And the church of Corinth is no exception. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. He considers it foolishness to even have to defend himself. disregards, for I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. Doesn't like when the pastor don't like when they find out other people are trying to adversely influence sheep other than the truth of Bible doctrine. For I betrothed you to one husband, that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin, to maintain fidelity in regards to doctrine in your life. But I'm afraid, unless as a serpent deceived deep by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray by the simplicity and purity of the devotion to Christ. Verse 4, for if one comes, proclaims another Jesus, whom we have not preached. In other words, representing the mind of Christ in a different fashion other than sound doctrine. Beginning Gospel Phase 1. Or you received a different spirit, which you have not received. Now fall on the leadership of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's influenced by demonic influence, etc. Or a different gospel, which you have not accepted. Bear this beautifully. G, right congregation, is an open epistle to the outside world of the right pastor's ministry over the years. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. So part of the witness of the church corporately, as a layman of the church, if you will, is an open letter in regards to the doctrine they're being taught. 2 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need to send letters of commendation to you or from you? Like all of a sudden now he has to re-support himself as being their right apostle. You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Doctrine that was the sound doctrine that was initially given to them through Paul and company. And they are evidence of that doctrine. Even if one takes issue in regards to the doctrine taught, if they're taking issue with it, making clear that they don't believe it, at least they're representing the fact the doctrine was taught. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit, but still in the Holy Spirit under the principle of Gad, of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts, in regards to the brain computer. Alright, well, getting ready to break the sweat. It's getting sticky here, so we're going to call it quits. Just for today. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, Holy Spirit, lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We send you to the prep school upstairs.